Amen. Just the people that were there, the men that were there know what I'm talking about. Brother Gleason said, go start something, he said. Amen. And I went to Walmart on the way back. I like to pick up something to bring to my daughters just for allowing me to leave for a couple days. So I go there to get something little, and there was a man standing by the Bible stand. And there's, believe it or not, in Walmart in Connecticut, in Norwich, there's a Bible display, and they sell Bibles and religious books. And the guy had a book, and he's looking at it on spiritual warfare. And I said, sir, I actually created an app that helps you with that kind of stuff. He says, really? He said, I know, I just sensed something about you guys when you walked by. So his name is Jim, and he may be moving to the area soon. Pray for Jim. Amen. But I actually had to apologize to my wife because I talked to him for like an hour. And it was just like, I mean, he felt like he needed somebody. He needed a friend. And so I started a friendship yesterday. Amen. And I'm glad to have our guests today. And I hope that you start a friendship with us this morning. Amen. This weekend, of course, we're going to have our regular services, Monday night prayer, Wednesday. We do as a church like to fast together on Mondays. So if you do a fast of some kind tomorrow, that would be very good. We do it together to be in unity. And then this weekend, we've got some really important work we need to do at the church. So, everybody that can come to the church work day this weekend, please come and join us. There's different cleaning that we can do. It's springtime, so there's flowers that can be planted. There's a lot to do, and we have a great time, and you get free pizza. So who doesn't want that? Nobody raise their hand. Everybody wants free pizza, so it's going to be a good work day. Praise the Lord. I do want to mention next week, youth convention. All the youth say youth convention. Youth convention. See Brother Fred or Sister Caitlin and talk to them about youth convention. It is not restricted on age-wise who can go, but just see Brother Fred or Sister Caitlin to get the details about that. And we're excited about youth convention. And then the last thing I wanted to announce was on the 28th, we are having our first prayer breakfast with the whole church. And we've done men's prayer breakfast before, and we made the ladies jealous because we had a great breakfast. And so our wonderful prayer coordinator, I think she just ducked out for a second, Sister Jerry has put together a plan for a prayer breakfast. We'll get some information out about that. And there is a sign-up sheet. If you just would put your name down just to let us know and maybe put a number next to your name of how many people you would like to bring to that. And we'll have a good breakfast and prayer. Brother Garnett Martin, who is our World Network of Prayer Coordinator for the state of Connecticut, is going to be coming and leading us in that time of prayer and breakfast. So I think I got all of the announcements out of the way. Can you stand with me? We're going to go to the word of the Lord. Amen. And I see what time it is. Praise the Lord. So we're going to go fast. So Romans 9:21, and I want to look at this and explore this today. Romans 9:21 says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. Amen. Can we pray right now? Jesus, Lord, we come to you, Lord God. We're seeking your wisdom this morning. We're seeking the understanding from you, God. We want you to commune with us, Lord Jesus, today. Speak to us from your word, God. Let it touch our heart, Lord Jesus. Let it move deeply within us, Lord God. Show us, Lord God, what you can do to a broken vessel, Lord God. Show us what you can do, Lord Jesus, to the clay, Lord God. If we will yield to you, Lord Jesus, today. Lord, that's what I pray, that my heart would yield to you, Lord Jesus, and that you would have your way in my life, God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The theme of the potter and the clay appears several times in the major prophets in the Old Testament. God gave both Isaiah and Jeremiah directives to go down to the potter's house. He wanted them to see and give a lesson to them about the clay, the potter, and broken things, broken vessels. And Apostle Paul, here in Romans, invites us back to the potter's house. To imagine that wheel and that clay in the hands of the potter shaping the vessel. But before we talk about the potter, I want to show you something. I actually picked this up yesterday at Walmart. And I'm trying to not cut myself. Kind of. See if I can put this together a little bit. Maybe not. You know what? That'd be kind of a waste of time right now. See if I can miss any. Oh, don't want to forget that piece. Amen. It's just a small clay flower pot. And it's not special. In fact, it was like a dollar, but there's a problem with it. It's broken. And it's cracked. I mean, there's no easy way to break a vessel. It just shatters into many pieces. And everybody knows what you should do with something like this. Of course, sometimes we try to piece it back together and glue it. But once it breaks, you don't try to repair it. Most of the time, it's just so cheap and inexpensive that you just throw this away and you go buy another one. It breaks that one time, and then it just seems completely useless. Can't hold water, can't hold the flowers. What do you do with it? And if we're honest, that's how the world treats people. When a life breaks, when sin cracks a soul, when someone makes too many mistakes, the world says the same thing that we have to say about this pot. Just throw it away. Devil says, throw it away. Your life is a waste. Your life is useless. But the scripture we just read tells us something powerful. Says that the potter has power over the clay. And continuing in verse 22, Paul gives us this, he posits this question, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? So you could see this vessel as a vessel of wrath. Because where is it destined? The trash heap. You could see it as a vessel of wrath. Or look at this next verse. It says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Paul tells us that there are vessels of wrath, but those same vessels can be vessels of mercy. Then he says something that would have shocked those who read his letter. In verse 24, he says, even us, whom he hath called not of the Jew only, but also of Gentiles. As he saith also in which is Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Oh. People who were not his people, becoming his people. People who were not beloved, who were fitted for destruction and wrath, who are now called beloved, vessels of mercy. What a God. And I want that question to come to your mind today. What if God loves you? What if God is wanting to do a miracle in your life? To transform you? To make something out of nothing? Amen. Paul is describing a complete miracle here. God taking lives, amen, that the world would throw away, that the devil would condemn, and turning them into vessels that reveal his glory. This morning, I'm not just preaching about these vessels of perfection. No, we wouldn't even be talking about them. They'd be holding flowers somewhere. But I got to talk about this broken vessel. Because I want to talk to you. I want to preach today. My theme today is vessels of mercy in the house of glory. A vessel of mercy is not valuable because of the clay. It's not valuable because of where it came through. Amen. What it went through and where it came from. A vessel of mercy is valuable because of the mercy that shaped it. A vessel of mercy is valuable because someone took the time and intricately went and put the pieces and made something completely new. Hallelujah. I want to talk about this because God reaches into the mire of sin to draw out broken lives, transforming them by his mercy into new vessels that dwell in the house and display his glory. Those sin leaves life a broken and discarded like clay in the mire. The mercy of God reaches way down, redeems it through the gospel, and shapes it into a vessel of honor and glory in his house. Amen. God has done that with each and every one of us. There's not a single person in this house that came in perfect. There's not a single person in this house that arrived with their own glory. Amen. But God, he reached down. He saw you in the mire. He saw you in the muck. He saw you where you were. Something caught his eye. And he reached down when you were rejected and dejected. Amen. And broken. Amen. And God reached down and he saved you. And he gave you a purpose. He gave you glory. He put honor on you. He put his glory on you. He did it to me. He can do it to anybody. Amen. Somebody needs to have faith right now for that lost loved one. Someone needs to have faith right now that God can do the impossible. And God can do the miraculous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, when I was studying this, I thought about the psalmist David. Amen. Psalm 40, one of my favorite psalms. Psalm 40 verse 1. He describes where God found him. King David, a man after God's own heart. A man that was honored highly and still is honored highly. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Listen, look at what he's saying. A horrible pit, miry clay. Amen. Clay that is stuck. Clay that can't move. Clay that can't rescue itself. Sin does that to a life. Sin traps you. Sin hardens you. Sin buries you. Amen. Until it seems useless to try to struggle. Until it seems useless to cry out. You feel discarded. You feel no hope. And you can try to repair yourself. You can try to pull yourself out. You can try to read self-help books and you can try to have positive thinking. Amen. But somebody that's trying to climb out of the pit today needs to hear me. You need to cry out to God. You cannot get out of the pit on your own. But wait on the Lord. Cry out and wait on the Lord. Cry out and look for the Lord to reach out to you. Cry out and listen for His voice to call you out. Amen. Oh, amen. Where are you today? Where are you, man and woman? Where are you, young person? No matter where you are, you're not beyond the reach of God's hand. Your family members that are not here today are not beyond the reach of God's hand. I was talking to Jim yesterday and he started talking about the evil in the world and how great the evil in the world is and how deep the depravity of disgustingness of sin and how harmful it is. And when you start thinking about it, you just seem to get deeper and deeper into that mire. Deeper and deeper into that pit, that swamp of sin. And you're like, how deep does this go? And it just seems to be going deeper and deeper and deeper and more stuck and more stuck. But I told Jim yesterday that no matter how evil is, no matter how deep that mire is, there's one thing that can reach deeper than the deepest pit of sin. And that's the love of God. It reaches deeper than any sin stain. It reaches farther then you can ever go away from the love of God. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. No matter how stuck you feel, no matter how deep into sin and mire you think you are, God's love is deeper and He's waiting for you to call on His name. He wants to rescue you today. The truth is that you can't redeem yourself. But you can cry out to God. And when someone turns towards God, He finds mercy. Just turning towards God, you find mercy. Amen. God is actually waiting for you to turn and find mercy. And mercy meets you immediately. When you cry out to God, this is so wonderful. It's so beautiful. This broken vessel. This is what so many lives in the world look like. This was once whole. This was once useful. Now it's broken. Now it's discarded. Now it's rejected. And you know, in ancient pottery workshops, There was a place known as the Potter's Field. And when a vessel was cracked in the kiln or fell off the shelf and shattered, the potter did not repair it. It was thrown away. The broken pottery was carried outside of the workshop and cast into a field where fragments of vessels lay scattered everywhere. It was a place of rejection. The place where vessels were discarded forever, just to be walked on, just to be trampled underfoot. Once a vessel reached the potter's field, no one ever expected it to return to the house. And in many ways, this is how the world treats people. When life breaks, when sin cracks the soul, when mistakes pile up, the world says, throw it away. But I want you to imagine for a moment a potter walking through the potter's field. Broken vessels everywhere. Can hear the crunch under his feet. The shattered clay. Places that everyone else had written off. All these pieces. This is what every other potter would do. Just according to the normal rules of pottery, that potter should walk right past every single piece. Amen. But imagine that as he walks through the field, something catches his eye. A broken vessel. Yes, cracked. Yes, discarded. Yes, rejected. When something like this breaks, most people just throw it away. It goes into the trash heap because it seems beyond repair. You lose a piece, you can't even make it whole again. But God sees things differently than we do. I'm so thankful that I caught his eye. I'm so thankful that once I was in that potter's field, rejected, and I caught the eye of the merciful potter. God doesn't look at the broken vessel and say, there's nothing left. God looks at the broken vessel and says, I can make something new. And this is exactly what Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened. Yes, he's talking to you today. You hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, vessels of wrath. We're just out there in the world like everyone else. Broken. With no hope. Without God in the world. We're dead in sin. Broken by sin. Beyond repair by ourselves. But then scripture shows us, Paul shows us two of the most powerful words in the Bible. Yet, here we are. Here we are. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Then, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The two words that are so powerful to every life, to every broken vessel, are mercy and grace. Amen. Mercy and grace, because The world just throws away broken lives into the potter's field. But the merciful potter walks into the field of broken vessels and brings them back to the house. Amen. Ephesians 2:21. I like how this chapter ends. Amen. Because it says, it called us all children of wrath. But then it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God can take that broken life. He's not even going to necessarily use all the same pieces, but He is going to make something new. He is going to take you and transform you and make you into a vessel of honor by His Spirit so that you can be in His house. Amen. God is so good to give us grace, to give us mercy, to give us great love. Amen. To give us that favor that we didn't have. To give us honor where we've been dishonorable. Amen. To give us glory when we were just messed up. Amen. Some people stuck there in the world, they just struggle to see that they have value. Listen, the world may have discarded you. People may write you off. Sin may convince you that your life has no purpose left. The truth says something different. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." How valuable were you to God? Amen. When He saw you in sin, when He knew what you could do, when He knew the depths you could go. Amen. And still, He stepped down from glory. Still, He became flesh to redeem you. Amen. Not with money, not with things that can be taken advantage of. Amen. Not with things that can be corrupted, but with the precious blood of Christ. He redeemed you. The Almighty reached down into this world, manifested Himself in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Amen. It's not a mystery what He did. It's a mystery why He did it. Amen. Why would He ever save a sinner like me? Why would He ever reach down and see a worm and a broken vessel? Why would He do that? Because He sees value in you, even if you don't see it looking in the mirror. He sees your value. The value of a worshiper. The value of you when He puts His Spirit inside of you. The value of you when He puts His glory on your life. Oh, what a great God. Stand together with me and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, You are kind. You are great God. You are wonderful, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Jesus, we give You glory, honor, and praise, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, I'm so grateful that You put me into Your house. You drew me up, Lord God. You made the effort, Lord Jesus. You paid the price I could not pay, God. You redeemed me, Lord Jesus. You gave Your life's blood, Lord God. Oh, for my salvation, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God sees potential in you. Not because of what you bring, but because His Spirit gives you favor and blesses your life. You may be seated. Oh, we look at ourselves sometimes. We mess up during the day. We come to God. We say, God, What's wrong with me? God, I'm broken. God, that's not the right thing to do. Stop looking at yourself. Start crying out to God. And watch Him transform your life. Amen. Repentance is not saying, God, I'm broken. Repentance is saying, Jesus, help me. God doesn't just take us out of the sin. God doesn't just reach down and take that lump of clay out of the mire and just set it off to the side for nothing. No, God has a purpose for you. He brings us somewhere. I love how much David loved the house of God and the presence of God. He desired the house of the Lord more than anything else in his life. In Psalm 27 verse 4, he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Amen. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Not God fix me. Not God stop me from doing this. Not God, you know, you name it. We sometimes come to the Lord and say, God, I got to fix this first and I got to do this first or I can't stop. Just come into the presence of God. Come to the altar. And let God begin to work on your life. Amen. That clay that was once buried in the mire is now placed in the house of God. It's taken from the pit and it's brought into the presence. From the mud to the temple. From brokenness to purpose. And when God begins shaping a life, He begins a process, a transformation. There's something fascinating. When I was looking at this, I was like, this is just too good to be true. This just fits too well to be true. Something fascinating about real pottery. The finest clay in the world, that which is most desired, is not found on mountaintops. It's found in low places, riverbanks, marshlands, floodplains, places that look worthless, can't build there because water's going to come again and destroy it. Can't build there. It's a swamp. It stinks. Amen. Wetlands, if you will. In Japan, potters making famous bison pottery dig their clay from muddy rice paddies. Farmers, they struggle with that sticky soil. The farmers hate that clay. But potters prized it because it's high in iron. And when it's fired, it makes a strong vessel. And beautiful. And in England, the historic city of Stoke-on-Trent built its entire industry on clay pulled from muddy clay pits that once looked like nothing but useless ground. And these are the most highly valued pieces of pottery or vessels in the world. Muddy places, discarded places, places no one can build in. What value could you find out in a swamp? What could you get out of a muddy riverbank? Until one day, the potter walks by and he says, that'll do just right. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Amen. And he reaches in and pulls out of the mud that clay. He highly values it. He prizes it above all things. He sees its potential. He sees that once his hand begins to mold and shape and work in that clay, that he's going to make a lot of money one day. Amen. Because the value would be priceless. Amen. If he makes it just right. Amen. Can you stand with me today? That's exactly what God does with the human life. A life buried in sin. A life everyone else has written off. A life that seems to have nothing left to offer. But then a hand reaches down. That merciful potter, God draws that life out of the mire. Then the clay enters into a process. It is washed. This is really what happens. That clay is washed. That clay is pressed. It's shaped. Amen. And spiritually, this process looks very similar. It's right here behind me. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." What is repentance? We talked about it before. Repentance, yes, it confesses your condition, but repentance is just letting it go. Breaking up the old life. That clay that they find in the pits, they can't work on it right when they pull it out of the pit. They gotta begin to break it up. From the very moment that potter draws out that clay, his hands are on it. I want you to remember that God's hands are on your life. From the very moment you call out in faith for mercy, his hands never leave it throughout the process. Amen. That's what repentance is. Breaks apart that old life. Says, I don't want to have nothing to do with that anymore. I'm just done with that life. God, I trust you to make me what you want me to be. God, I trust you to work in my life in ways that I never imagined. Somebody ought to repent right now. Somebody ought to call on God right now. I just feel it right now just to stop and say a prayer of repentance. Oh God, over my life. Oh God, I can't do anything of myself, God. Lord, but if you'll begin to work in my life, if you'll begin to shape me and mold me and make me, God. Lord, I will yield, Jesus. I will yield to your hands. I will yield to your power, God. I will yield to what you make me, Lord Jesus. God, I don't have that choice, Lord God, anymore, God. I want you to make that choice for me, God. Make me into what you want me to be, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yes, once that potter breaks that clay apart, what does he do? He puts it in water. Of course, he just inundates it with water, covers it with the water, and he keeps working that clay, and he just keeps breaking everything apart, and then he begins to filter out the things that don't belong there. And that's exactly what baptism in Jesus' name does. It filters out, it washes out the sin in your life. Baptism separates what is not from God and leaves what God wants to work with. That's exactly what God does when you go down in that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our water is ready today. And we've got robes and change of clothes. And you, if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can be baptized today. And you can begin to start that life. Start that process of God beginning to shape you and mold you and make you. And then the Holy Ghost comes in. That's when God begins to draw out of that clay what he wants to make out of your life. That's when God fills that vessel with new life. God fills that vessel with honor. God fills that vessel with glory. Amen. And that clay that was rejected becomes a vessel of mercy. Always a vessel of mercy. That's why when people come back, they haven't been here for a while, I just smile. Because I'm a vessel of mercy too. I'm a vessel of mercy. You're a vessel of mercy. You're a vessel of mercy. Amen. We are all vessels of mercy. Amen. So we have love and mercy for one another. Amen. We forgive one another. We care for one another. Amen. We think the best for one another. Amen. Because it's not me working on your life. Pastor's not working on your life. God's working on your life. Amen. God's doing the work. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God doesn't just want to make you into something pretty. Amen. And then let you stay out there in the clay. He wants to place you in His house and make you, amen, a vessel of glory. Amen. A vessel of honor. Hallelujah. A vessel of mercy. Amen. So this afternoon, there may be someone who feels like this broken pot, discarded and rejected and beyond repair. But the merciful potter is still reaching. Still reaching for you. And this altar is open. And it is a place where clay meets the hands of the potter. And God is still making vessels of mercy in the house of glory. Amen. So as we come, let's come together. Let's come to this altar. Let's gather around this altar. Amen. No one is beyond the reach of God. No one is beyond God's hand. Hallelujah. No one is beyond His love. Amen. And even if you're doing good and things are seem to be going right, amen, life has a way of making you feel rejected. Amen. And God wants to work on your heart today. God wants to work on your life today. Come on and come forward. Amen. Nobody stay back. Nobody draw away. Turn to the Lord. Cry out to the God of our salvation. The only one that can save us. Oh, He loves us.